Thank you. Good evening. Again, I'm Laurie Elam Evans, and I'm going to present disparities in vaccination coverage findings from the National Immunization Survey, NIS, for 2013. I'd like to acknowledge my collaborators who work with me at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Holly Hill, David Yankee, and Maureen Colossa. And I have nothing to disclose. For this presentation, I'm going to do a little bit of background on vaccination recommendations for children. I'll give a little overview of the National Immunization Survey. I'll talk about the 2013 vaccination coverage estimates for children and then some of the disparities in vaccination coverage estimates. There are 10 vaccinations that are recommended for children. I won't go through this list, and I don't want your eyes to glaze over when you start thinking about these 10 vaccinations that are recommended for children, but I do want to bring up this schedule that actually helps parents to understand when the doses are required. So there's actually a schedule to help you know how many doses are required and the scheduling, so when that should happen, 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, 12 months. So we have that for each of those vaccines. And I want to talk a little bit about the methodology for the National Immunization Survey. This is a random digit Dow, a cell and landline survey to households in the 50 states, the District of Columbia, and selected local areas. Interviews are conducted with parents or guardians of children 19 to 35 months, and a questionnaire is mailed to the children's vaccination provider to obtain vaccination history once we obtain consent of the parent or guardian. The data are weighted to be representative of the population of children 19 to 35 months, and they're weighted for multiple phone lines, whether they have multiple lines in the household, mixed phone use, so they might have a cell phone and a landline phone, household or provider non-response, and exclusion of phoneless households. The 2013 sample included 13,611 children with adequate provider data. And by adequate provider data, we mean once the questionnaire was sent to the provider, they completed the information and sent it back. So we had vaccination data on the children that are included in our estimate. So if they just did the household part and did not provide consent, or the provider did not send it back, then they won't be included in the national estimates because we won't have that vaccination history. Our CASRO rates were 62.3% for the landline sampling frame and 30.5% for the cell phone sampling frame. With 63.5% of the landline interviews had adequate provider data, and 59.8% of the cell phone interviews had adequate provider data. Now, this slide is showing the vaccination coverage since the National Immunization Survey, I'll call it NIS, began. So you can see for the most part, we're doing pretty good with having high levels that are about to meet the targets for the Healthy People 2020, although we have a few that are kind of straggling and not meeting the objectives. But you can see when it's the uptake when the recommendation was made for the Advisory Committee for Immunization Practices, and then you can see the trends over time. Just so you'll have an indication of what for the 2013 estimates, most of them had coverage levels at 90%, a few at 83%, and then some that were much lower than that. And this slide provides a clearer picture of the current status. Note that vaccines that are requiring a higher number of doses documents the coverage challenges we have of having numerous doses, like three doses or four doses. That's making it more challenging to get the children in to get coverage. Also, the vaccines with limited opportunity for catch-up are not achieving the national target. So if there's a close window that they must get vaccinated and they miss that window, they're not going to get that rotavirus vaccine. So some of those, they're going to be lower because they don't have an extended period of time when they can catch up with their vaccination coverage. Okay, so this first slide, this first figure is showing vaccination coverage among children 19 to 35 months by poverty status. And there are significantly lower coverage for those below the poverty level for DTaP, for poliovirus, the full series of HIB, for hepatitis B, for PCV and the rotavirus, compared to children who are at or above the level. However, children below the poverty level have significantly higher coverage than those at or above the poverty level for the hepatitis B birth dose. And you can see that those with the asterisk above it, those are significant, showing significance. So those who are below poverty had lower levels. And this slide will actually show the range of the difference in coverage by poverty status. So the blue bars indicate significantly lower coverage for those below poverty. And the red bar, that single red bar, is the only significantly higher coverage level among those living below poverty level compared to those living at or above the poverty level. The next three slides show disparities by race and ethnicity. Black children had significantly lower coverage for DTaP compared to white non-Hispanic children. And that's for 3 dose and 4 doses of DTaP. Additionally, black children had significantly lower coverage for PCV, rotavirus, and the combined vaccine series compared with white non-Hispanic children, shown by the asterisk. Also, black children had lower coverage for the full series of HIB compared with white non-Hispanic children. However, black and Hispanic children had significantly higher coverage for the hepatitis B birth dose compared with white non-Hispanic children. This slide shows coverage levels adjusted for poverty and including a poverty and race interaction term. This slide demonstrates that the disparity by race is reduced by adjusting for poverty, but race disparity still exists for antigens except for the combined vaccine series. So it was lower than it was when you were looking just at race by adjusting for poverty, but there's still a significant disparity going on except for that combined series. Disparities also exist by state, with coverage for DTaP ranging from 74.3% in Arkansas to 93.3% in Massachusetts. In this slide, I'll give you a few minutes to look at that. So this is having the states across the x-axis and the height of the bar, whether it's blue or red, is showing the magnitude of the change that they have between 2012 and 2013. The blue bars are not significant, but they were increases or decreases, but the red bars are showing that that was a significant increase in coverage between those 2 years. And from this, you could see that there were significant increases in DTaP coverage for Pennsylvania and for Utah. For measles, mumps, and rubella, MMR coverage levels range from 86.0% in Colorado, Ohio, and West Virginia to 96.3% in New Hampshire. The difference in estimated measles, mumps, and rubella coverage between 2012 and 2013 had a few states that showed significant increases in coverage, including New York, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Texas, and Washington State. This one is showing rotavirus coverage, and it ranged from 56% in Arkansas to 84.4% in Rhode Island. And significant differences were seen, increases were seen in Kansas, Maryland, New York, Texas, Vermont, and D.C. So in summary, there have been no statistically significant changes in coverage nationally for most of the vaccines from 2012 to 2013. However, significant increases were observed for hepatitis B birth dose by 2.6 percentage points and by rotavirus for 4.0 percentage points. There were differences in coverage observed by race and ethnicity, and black children had significantly lower coverage than white children for 4 doses of DTaP, the full series of HIB, for 4 doses of PCV, and for rotavirus. Differences in coverage by race and ethnicity show that black and Hispanic children had significantly higher coverage than white children for the hepatitis B birth dose. Differences in coverage were observed by poverty status, and children living below the poverty level had lower coverage than those at or above poverty level for DTaP, poliovirus, the full series of HIB, hepatitis B, PCV, rotavirus, and then the vaccine series. However, children living below the poverty level had higher coverage than those at or above poverty for the hepatitis B birth dose. No significant differences in coverage were observed by poverty status for measles, mumps, and rubella, MMR, or varicella, or the hepatitis A. Differences in coverage were observed by state and local area, but the range of coverage depended on the particular vaccine. Now, there are several limitations that we must bring to your attention. Household response rates for landline and cell phones were 62.3% and 30.5% respectively. Also, adequate provider data were available for 63.5% of the landline and 59.8% of the cell phone completed interviews. Also, non-response bias may have changed over time, and the hepatitis A estimates may be underestimated, and that's because our surveillance goes from 19 to 35 months, but the vaccination coverage could spread out to like 40, the fourth year, so we won't be able to measure that. So it could be underestimated for hepatitis A, and we're trying to do some additional studies to kind of get an idea of how much this underestimation may be for our surveillance. The implications are we need to have continued partnerships are needed to sustain our current coverage levels and increase coverage for those vaccines below the national targets. Also, we need to ensure systems are in place, such as patient reminder and recall, so the parents will know, bring your child in to get their shots. Vaccination programs and settings such as WIC clinic and child care facilities can help support high vaccination coverage. And the Guide to Community Preventive Services has a task force which reviews evidence of vaccination promotion strategies. More research is needed to understand the association of race, ethnicity, and poverty status with vaccination status. And we're actually conducting some, we have a working group that we're trying to look at some of the other factors that may be contributing to the race, ethnicity, and poverty status differentials that we've seen. I'd like to acknowledge my supervisor and programmer on the study, and thank you for your attention. I'm happy to answer questions when she tells you, you can ask questions.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
So we have about 2 minutes left for a few questions, and you guys are welcome to stay after everybody is finishing with the presentations, and we can just, you know, like stay another 10 minutes, but right now, about 2 minutes, anybody having any questions?
So, one finding with the FBFR, mm-hmm.
We're not really sure about that, although some are hypothesizing that if we know that there are certain populations that will be challenged with getting in, if they get it right when they're born, then it's over with. You know, so maybe it's that they're a captive audience. We can give them to get their shot. So that's the only thing that we're thinking of might kind of answer why those are higher. And, you know, with it being African American, Hispanic, we're just thinking, you know, maybe that's targeted for the physicians that are delivering those babies. You know, just make that practice that you're going to give that Hepi B birth dose while they're there. And it usually is within 3 days of birth.
Mm-hmm. One more question.
Don't all speak at once. Actually, yes, we do that because everybody needs their local data for action. So we do work with the states to show them their coverage. And usually when we have the MMWO publication that comes out, and actually this one comes out usually the end of August every year, and we have the state data to show their coverage levels, but we also provide to the states their disparities that are going on. And we also have numerous tables that are online by race, by poverty status, by metropolitan status level, you know, by insurance, so a variety of things. So just if you get a chance, look on our website at some of the data and the tables that are already prepared that you can just look at some of the disparities that are going on with the vaccination coverage.